just share as a group the specific qualities that you were able to define about her life? Missy, why don't you just share some things that you and you shared with your partner, some qualities to her life. Can you just start sharing and then others still in some others?
Okay. Okay. We first saw that she had faith in believing God to marry Frank. She was obedient. In the third paragraph, she was obedient, resourceful. She took initiative. She had endurance. She was diligent. She was content. She was content in that she did not complain about where God had her, what she was doing.
There was orderliness in the way that she arranged her schedule for having vegetables.
She was persuasive in the way that she convinced her husband to let her plant when he didn't want her to do anything.
Don't feel she was unsubmissive. She just appealed to him. Believed that she would, the family would profit from her venture.
She guided him around her husband's roadblock.
Persuasive, right?
It said that he had determined, third paragraph, he had determined at the outset of their marriage that she shouldn't be concerned with the demanding job of maintaining a garden. I put sincerity because sincerity is an eagerness to do what is right with transparent motives, that he really wanted to protect her, but he must have really had transparent motives because she was able to get him to let her do that. If he had had his heart set on that,
If his motives were impure, it would not have. It would have been a conflict rather than an agreeable situation.
He landed for her. She didn't have to get out there because she convinced me, which indicated I'll do it. You don't want me to.
It was. She was still under authority, submissive.
So her spirit must have been right.
She showed deference in the way she kept her marriage place.
It's all right. What paragraph is that?
The fourth one.
Okay.
This is
deference. Good.
Is that?
Yeah.
Fourth paragraph. Determination, absolutely, but boldness too is real confidence in knowing that that would result in lasting benefit. Seeing beyond that immediate discipline, seeing that it would produce fruit.
He saw that as diligence too. The definition there is to visualize each task as a special love of the Lord.
Putting up with Billy's antics and his energy, endurance.
She realized that sometimes the definitions don't always go along with the word. In other words, sometimes you see diligence just getting with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it
right.
And so the word will mean more than the definition in some places.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be?
I think in her response to the teacher's comments about Billy graduating, that impressed me of how she handled it. I thought she was cautious. According to this, it says, knowing how important right timing is in accomplishing right action. She didn't just go home, or it doesn't say that she went home and jumped all over him. It seemed like she thought through things. She responded with wisdom, and then finally just the faith that God would get him through, or whatever. If he didn't get through something, breath would come out of it. And that really spoke to me, because I could see where she'd have a tendency to just go to pieces, you know. I mean, that's important to me. It's sometimes more important to parents than it is to the children.
Loyalty along with that. She was using adversity to confirm her commitment to Billy, who she was called to see, and she prayed for him. It resulted in
I thought she showed a lot of alertness in that situation, because which is the ability to anticipate the right responses to what's taking place, because she said, "George, you're preparing him for this something," even though she didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Alertness, I believe. Alertness.
Her opinion of herself is just a little country rambling. I don't know if humility is exactly because it talks about in her own life, but just in relationship to Billy Graham. You know, mm-hmm. If your son is Billy Graham, and yet she just thinks of herself as a little country woman.
What was your response to the prayer vigil that she and her husband had covenanted to make? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pray and patient.
You what?
I'm going to study and patient.
What do you think it required of them?
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice?
Security?
Oh, a myriad of things. That was a challenge to me. I think that this story, that one aspect, stands out to me. Billy is who he is today and what he's done in people's lives because of those prayers over his bed in his room.
The quality of thoroughness fits in there, because it's what knowing what factors will diminish the effectiveness of my work or words if neglected, both in the way she disciplined them and in the way they pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And responsibility. Doing what God expected.
Yes.
And, you know, Judy, she was so faithful to this, her task as a mother. You know, I mean, she didn't know what Billy was going to turn out to be, and she didn't really, didn't really express that he was going to be someone great. She may have had a tendency to think he was different, you know, maybe from the other children or something. But still, that really speaks to me because of the ministry to children in your home. You know, it just really says something to me.
Requires our life. Even if we don't have children and we just have a girl that we're working with, same applies. It's as though they are our spiritual children.
Yeah, it's interesting too. If you tried to figure out her spiritual gift, you couldn't.
She displayed them all.
Uh-huh. And how that as a person grows and matures with the Lord, and they develop these
it's hard for them to figure out their spiritual gift because so many are developed. But a new Christian, you know, a lot of times you can, I mean, one that's maybe 4 or 5 years old, mm-hmm. Lord, you can still figure it out because mm-hmm. they're still struggling in
the specific areas. Do you, obviously, she didn't just, wasn't born with these qualities, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's very human, as we are. Do you think that perhaps these things were developed through process, just as we've talked about? Do you think she's perhaps went through a lot of personal suffering and testing in her own spirit to develop these things? It's not shared per se, but obviously, over her kitchen sink, I'm sure she had to deal with the attitudes. That, but you see, experience without scripture, zero. But scripture obviously was so much a part of her life that as she began to respond in the act of the will, to choose to believe God's ways and choose to believe God's character, then her character was obviously, as we read, it's just Christ all through here, Jesus. And her response to testing and her act of faith and the convictions of her life are obvious. She had a conviction about prayer, didn't she? Well, how was that developed? We can only speculate, but it just didn't come naturally. So we girls should be encouraged. It's a process. Any other things you'd like to share?
I thought it was interesting. On the second page, down near the bottom, when he was going through about maybe not graduating, she says, "It was surely a test for me as his mother. She's been tested in faith." And then in the next paragraph, he talks about, "Let's have the faith to believe God and ask God to continue his work in Billy's heart as he goes on to college." You know, so it was really, you know, kind of like
she was able to believe
the test mm-hmm. and then, you know, the last building faith and then going on with that.
Good. Judy, mm-hmm. There's another book that they might like to get if they've not gotten it, but Cameos. But
yeah, I have that one.
Mm-hmm. That,
it's now in print. Uh-huh. Or it's in print. Cameos by the same author.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a book, if you've got children, on what they did right. That would be another just mm-hmm. chapters of kids evaluating their parents. Mm-hmm. And
good.
That would be, too. This is an excellent way to do this.
Mm-hmm. I did in my reading. I just naturally, you know, I identify character qualities, and it's just something I do. And it's been really, and you see, it challenges our faith. It encourages our faith as we are able to see God's work in other people.
Did you have that?
You're just stretching. Okay. Are there any questions?
How did you assign the qualities to the different gifts?
I didn't.
Who did?
This is from Bill Gothard's Institute in Basic Good Conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Question. When Jesus talked about putting on your nature, putting on your nature. When you, if you put off, if you find the negative in your life, is putting that off, you put on, that's the opposite, right? You put on, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's near the opposite. At least they've identified an opposite that's nearest to it. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions about practical steps to building character that maybe some of us others could share what you do?
I have a question. Where do these definitions come from? I mean, is that just like Bill Gothard's mm-hmm. perception of mm-hmm. it?
He's just verbalized these.
I've been a little reluctant to memorize the definition as the definition.
Oh,
of this
I don't think necessarily. It's just
an insight.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A real insight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you going to be talking this afternoon about developing these characteristics and different characteristics?
I'm talking on balance. So it'll be a different area.
I don't even know enough to really ask you a question. But I would like to hear some ways that, you know, like maybe pick a particular characteristic and how you do it or something.
Okay. Going again back to this chart, one thing that I did with some girls one semester is I had them go through this list and have them isolate one character quality that they felt the Lord had been working on in their life. It was very obvious. And then what they were to do is to go through a step. One is to do a Bible study on the quality, the positive quality. And then to, and you see, this is where your time together is important, because as you talk about that quality, you're able to help them determine day by day, when has that quality been tested in your life? What specific situation were you placed in where you were tested? And then I would ask them, have you confessed your wrong response, if there was a wrong response, and admitted that that was sin, so that they become conscious of the displeasure that becoming anxious or being fearful, what that is, actually is sin. And then the encouragement to pray for them that they make the right choices, that they have the strength to stand and to choose by faith to make right choices. And it's good to talk about and to build up in that person's heart and remind them of times when they have made right choices, and to remind them of those times so that they're encouraged in their faith. I'm thinking of one particular girl who did hers in security, and you know, that was 4 years ago probably, I guess, Kathy. And this girl, I visited with her the other day, and she is still dealing with that area of security, and she was just sharing with me about how much she had learned in that one area. And that I was able to point out to her areas where I had seen growth in that area, in that quality. So it builds her faith. And then also, as you learn more about that quality, you begin to learn more about the nature of God being as a secure God, or whatever area you're working on, that you see that as the very nature of God. So God reveals to you through situations and circumstances. And then, of course, the conviction takes a lifetime. That as that person leaves your life and moves on, you just trust that God is continually faithful to bring up some truth. Mindy pointed out, she said that God continually brings up a situation, puts her in situations where this one area is continually being tested. That's a good sign that God is working a quality into your life. Our response is crucial. You can either respond with bitterness and reject that, or acknowledge that, yes, God indeed is wanting me to, sovereignly, He is putting me in that situation so that He can have His way in my life. And the issue is, are we willing to respond? And you need to get knowledge. You have to find out about that area from Scripture. And then also encourage the girls to do a study on the negative quality. I have some examples here. Character quality Bible study on faint-heartedness. So you're really teaching about sin. Find the Scripture reference for it. For instance, let me just go through one here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day." If you allow yourself to be faint-hearted, you're not really believing that God is the one who renews our inner man day by day. It's a lack of faith. You don't choose to believe that God is a God who renews our spirit day by day. Okay, the key word or definition, you look up the word faith. It means to faint means to turn out badly or to cave in the Greek. That's what it means. Outwardly means outside or without. Inward means from within. You faint, you cave in without or within. Okay? The context of the reference, Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians in Corinth, advising them to press on through the trials they go through. He writes that they should be glad for their trials because they will grow from it. Also, they shouldn't give in so easily to it. And then the purpose of the book containing this reference, 2 Corinthians was written to teach Christians and encourage them to press on toward their Lord, Jesus Christ. Paul gave more of his personal background in 2 Corinthians. He also defended his apostleship. Historical reference, just when it was written, some leaders of the Corinth church were denying Paul's apostleship, and it caused him to want to faint, be faint-hearted. So he was able to rise above that and share with them, you don't have anything to faint against because people are against my ministry of apostleship. And then the cultural context, Paul is challenging the church to keep faith and not be as a weakling who allows small burdens to pull them away from God. And then personal application to character quality. When I go through trials, I realize I should be strong at heart, but I allow sometimes my eyes to center on myself, and it causes me to be faint-hearted and easy to give in and to make trials worse. I read this verse and meditate on it and its meaning, and that way my eyes go to Jesus. See, that's just taking one verse on one sin area and following it through to knowing about the fact God is displeased with faint-heartedness. When we may just naturally tolerate because we think, oh, that's just part of my nature, you know, we just give in or cave in or whatever. So that's one thing you can do practically with a person. That's fine.
This is like a whole new thing as far as this way to do it. But I was wondering, like, when you're picking out something either in your own life or the life of someone that you're working with, does it more than likely show up as a negative thing? You know, you see something in your life that you want removed more than something that you want put in. I mean, I have a whole list of things that need to be removed before I start working on things that aren't even there, you know, or don't seem to be there. Is that
possibly, come through the negative.
I can pick out, and I think, boy, I can see the negative there, so I need to start developing
that. That could be, just pick one and begin to work on it. Yes.
But that negative thing has to be replaced.
Yes, that's right. The focus needs to be on the positive.
Yeah. In replacing that, what you do is just go to the positive. I mean, if you have that tendency to be that way, there must be something positive that could come out.
That's right. That's the potential. And that's what you want to major on. There's also anticipating character qualities, say, for in children. See, Gina is 13, and she's not aware enough to know maybe what area she needs to work on. But I know for the fact that she's 13 and what she'll be facing, I picked an area, virtue, to deal with her. And so our Bible study together once a week, we deal with purity and virtue. And I have a project from Proverbs that we do together, and I use biographies. And it takes time for me to search out these things in that specific area. I find a story where it points out virtue in a person, and we read that together. But then it's also in developing and finalizing that character quality in a person's life. She needs to have the opportunity sometime to give a testimony to someone else about virtue, or else it's just head knowledge. She needs to share an example of how God has developed virtue in her life. She has an example because it came through. She chose not to be at one point. I was able to deal with it and show her from Scripture how that was sin. She confessed it, and I taught her how to confess before God sin, not be general, God, forgive me for my sin. I said, Gina, be specific. God, forgive me for that, you know, what I did. And she was very specific. And then as we are formulating a testimony in that area, then I provide a situation where she's able to share that example with somebody else, then she is learning that character quality. It's becoming part of her life. So being able to share is a very important aspect.
What if you see in somebody that you're working with, if their knowledge is being tested, you can see that they are really struggling
sorting it out?
Tell. Do you confront them on that every time, or do you just play on them? Or what do you do?
Yeah.
no set answer. I think you just need to take the situation, be sensitive. It could be questions, asking questions to help them sort out what specific thing God is trying to deal with in their life and be able to isolate. You know, I shared, help people work through being able to identify and verbalize the ways of God in their life. See, it may be a pattern, and this is just one part of the piece of the pattern that's being. It's obvious that they've maybe gone through this before. And I sometimes will ask them, have you dealt with this before? Has there been another situation where you had to deal with this?
You know, when they give you the kind of silent treatment, you know, I mean, they're not doing it just to do, but they walk around with this look on their face, and you know there's something wrong, and you don't know whether you, and I don't know, maybe I have, some of the times when I don't confront it, it's because it's out of fear, you know, but I'm not sure if I should keep.
Just pray. God provides the perfect opportunity with the right words as you pray. Ask God to remove the barriers.
You're talking to someone and they keep sharing these different struggles they've gone through the old days. And you have shared before, like, you know, trying to see what God is teaching. Like one kid from one, she goes through some testing that deal with the same thing that I experienced. That she's like, she's a mother and expanding her relationship with her children. And in my situation, in different relationships, and a lot of times she'll think, well, you don't have children, so you don't understand that. See, the principle is still there.
That's right.
Should I just not?
She needs to have an alternative to choose. Does she have an alternative? How, what she can choose to do?
Yeah.
Has she established, does she know from Scripture what God has to say about her attitude?
I don't know.
Yeah. If you have an opportunity, it'd be good just to get in the Word and begin to study that area. The one woman we're working with, she has a non-Christian husband. And it's interesting what people share. But as we begin to get together, she began to share how important it is to have a right relationship to your husband and how the conviction, she began to share a lot of knowledge about God and how she wanted her life to be in right relationship to her husband. And, boy, you know, I knew that there was not a good situation, basically, because he was not a Christian. There were some patterns in his life that I think would really be a test for any woman to go through. But as she was sharing, it was as though she didn't have a problem with it. And I asked her if she would like to do a study from 1 Peter 3 about the godly wife. And I had an ulterior motive. One is that she would be built up in her knowledge, but also that God would use that to convict her of the blind spot in her response to her husband. And as we went through that, God began to take her through some things with her husband where she began to experience testing, and she was not responding very rejoicingly. In fact, she told me at one point, you know, I don't feel like I can, I don't know what I'm going to do about the struggles with him, because I just don't see any hope for him, and I'm having a hard time loving him. I'm not adoring him like 1 Peter 3 says. I was so thankful because she was finally coming to grips with reality. And she was beginning to come to grips with confession and realizing this is life. I have a choice to respond, and I have a choice to. See, I saw God begin to develop character in her life. But you see, I was anticipating what she might have to deal with. And I built Scripture, you know, exposed her to Scripture so she had something to go back on when she did go through those testimonies. So you don't have to wait until they go through something to begin to help them, guide them through Scripture. But maybe you could pray and ask God to give you what you think, what He knows that they're going to be going through soon, and begin to undergird them from Scripture before they go through a testing time. See, only God knows. Just as you pray, God will give you ideas, and it's amazing how things work out as you begin to work with them, how that Scripture has been meaningful to them. I know we've all experienced that at some point, just that aspect of praying for guidance and helping a person. Peggy.
Out of that situation, I'm not real clear about conviction as far as, I have an idea of what I think convictions are, but I'm not sure. What would be a conviction that could develop out of this kind of situation? What you say it's something that's a lifestyle. What would be something that could develop
conviction?
Just an example.
It's something that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you believe you would die for believing it. You would lay your life on the line for believing it to be true. Helene Ashker's going to speak to that in specifics. And I didn't want to go through it because I know I've heard her tape. It's very good. So you'll get a lot of this tomorrow morning. There's one other thing. One thing that's challenged my character, I asked Gina one time, she's sitting in my lap, and I said, Gina, what do you expect from me as your mother? And she said, and I expected her to say, love, to love me. And she said, well, she says, I know you'll love me no matter what, but she said, I think the thing I expect from you the most is example.
That is a challenge.
And people are watching our life and our responses to life. And our responses indicate what our character is. And God has just challenged me by that to demonstrate to her a life character that exemplifies Christ. And I'll just close it there. I'm fine. Do you want to answer?
We're ready for lunch, so if y'all